بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate.
ألف لام ميم. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم.
ألف لام ميم. Allah, the ever-living, the self-subsisting, who sustains the entire order of the universe. There is no God but He.
There is no God but He. For explanation, see Surah 2 and 278 above.
نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه وأنزل التوراة والإنجيل.
He has revealed this book to you, setting forth the truth and confirming the earlier books, and earlier he revealed the Torah and the Gospel.
مِن قَبْلُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَأَنزَلَ الْفُرْقَانِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ.
For the guidance of mankind, and he has also revealed the criterion to distinguish truth from falsehood. A severe chastisement lies in the store for those who deny the signs of Allah. Allah is Almighty. He is the Lord of retribution.
For the guidance of mankind, the Torah is generally taken to signify the first five books of the Old Testament and the Injil, Gospel, to mean the four Gospels of the New Testament, even though those books form a part of it. This has sometimes caused people to wonder if these books were indeed revealed by God. If they are accepted as revealed, one may wonder if the Quran really verifies their contents, as this verse says. The fact is, however, that the Torah is not identical with the first five books of the Old Testament, even though those books form a part of the Torah. Likewise, the Injil is not identical with the four Gospels of the New Testament. The fact is that the Torah, in the Quranic usage, signifies the revelations made to Moses, peace be upon him, in about 40 years from the time he was appointed to a prophet until his death. These include the Ten Commandments, which were handed over to him inscribed on stone tablets. Moses took down the test of the revealed injunctions and handed over one copy to each of the 12 tribes of Israel and one copy to the Levites for safekeeping. It is this book which was known as the Torah, and it existed until the first destruction of Jerusalem. The copy entrusted to the Levites was put beside the Ark of the Covenant, along with the commandment tablets, and the Israelites knew it as the Torah. The Jews, however, neglected the book during the reign of Josiah, the king of Judah. The Temple of Solomon was under repair, and the high priest Hilkiah chanced to find the book lying in the construction area. He gave it to the king's secretary, Shaphan, who in turn took it to the king as if it were a strange find. Hence, when the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem and razed it and the Temple of Solomon to the ground, the Israelites lost forever the few original copies of the Torah, which they possessed and which they had consigned to obscurity. At the time of Ezra the priest, some Israelites returned from captivity in Babylon, and when Jerusalem was rebuilt, the entire history of Israel, which now comprises the first 17 books of the Old Testament, was recorded by Ezra with the assistance of some other elders of the community. Four of these books, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, consist of a biographical narrative of Moses. In this biography, those verses of the Torah available to Ezra and the other elders are also recorded and in the context in which they were revealed. The present Torah, therefore, comprises those fragments of the original book which are interspersed throughout the biography of Moses. In locating these fragments of the original Torah, there are certain expressions which help us. These are interspersed between the different pieces of biographical narration and usually open with the words such as, "Then the Lord said to Moses," and "Moses said, the Lord your God commands you." These expressions, then, are fragments of the original Torah. When the biographical narration recommences, however, we can be sure that the fragment of the true Torah has concluded. Wherever authors and editors of the Bible have added anything of their own accord, by way of either elaboration or elucidation, it has become very difficult for an ordinary reader to distinguish the original from the explanatory additions. Those with insight into divine scripture, however, do have the capacity to distinguish between the original revealed fragments and the later human interpolations. It is these scattered fragments of the original revealed book which the Quran terms as the Torah, and it is these which it confirms. When these fragments are compared with the Quran, there is no difference between the two as regards to the fundamental teachings. Whatever differences exist relate to legal matters and are of secondary importance. Even today, a careful reader can appreciate that the Torah and the Quran have sprung from one and the same divine source. Likewise, Injil signifies the inspired orations and utterances of Jesus, peace be upon him, which he delivered during the last 2 or 3 years of his life in his capacity as a prophet. There are no certain means by which we can definitively establish whether or not his statements were recorded during his lifetime. It is possible that some people took notes of them and that some followers committed them to memory. After a period of time, however, several treatises on the life of Jesus were written. The authors of these treatises recorded in connection with the biographical account those sayings of his which they had received from the previous generation of co-religionists in the form of either oral traditions or written notes about events in his life. As a result, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not identical with the Injil. Rather, the Injil consists of those statements by Jesus which form part of these Gospels. Unfortunately, we have no means of distinguishing the fragments of the original Injil from the pieces written by the authors themselves. All we can say is that only those sections explicitly attributed to Jesus, for example, in statements such as, "And Jesus said," and "Jesus taught," constitute the true Injil. It is the totality of such fragments which is designated as the Injil by the Quran, and it is the teachings contained in these fragments that the Quran confirms. If these fragments are put together and compared with the teachings of the Quran, one notices very few discrepancies between the two, and any discrepancies that are found can be resolved easily by unbiased reflection.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ
Nothing in the earth and in the heavens is hidden from Allah.
Nothing in the earth and in the heavens is hidden from Allah. That is, God knows all the facts of the universe. Hence, the book which He has revealed is of necessity true. It may be more appropriate to say that the unadulterated truth can be made available to man only through this book, which has been revealed by the all-knowing, all-wise God.
هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم
It is He who fashions you in the wombs as He wills. There is no God but He, the Almighty, the All-Wise.
It is He who fashions you in the wombs as He wills. This refers to two important facts. The first is that no being knows human nature as well as God does. It is thus imperative that man should depend on the guidance revealed by God, something man needs the most. The second is that the being who takes care of all of man's requirements, major and minor, from the time of conception onwards, will not fail to provide guidance for man's conduct in this life.
أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب.
It is He who has revealed the book to you. Some of its verses are absolutely clear and lucid, and these are the core of the book. Others are ambiguous. Those in whose hearts there is perversity always go about the part which is ambiguous, seeking mischief, and seeking to arrive at its meaning arbitrarily, although none knows their true meaning except Allah. On the contrary, those firmly rooted in knowledge say, "We believe in it. It is all from our Lord alone." No one derives true admonition from anything except the men of understanding. And these are the core of the book. Muhkam means that which has been made firmly and perfectly. The Muhkam verses mentioned here are those Quranic verses which are embodied in clear and lucid language and whose meaning is not liable to any ambiguity and equivocation. The words of these verses are clear pointers to their true meaning, and therefore it is difficult to subject them to arbitrary interpretation. Such verses form the core of the Holy Book. They are the verses which fulfill the true purpose for which the Quran was revealed, and invite the whole world to Islam. They embody admonition and instruction as well as the refutation of erroneous doctrines and the elucidation of the right way. They also contain the fundamentals of the true faith, teachings relating to belief, worship, and morality, and mandatory duties and prohibitions. These are the verses which will guide the genuine seeker after truth who turns to the Quran in order to find out what he ought and ought not to do. Others are ambiguous. Ambiguous verses are those whose meaning may have some degree of equivocation. It is obvious that no way of life can be prescribed for man unless a certain amount of knowledge explaining the truth about the universe, about its origin and end, about man's position in it, and other matters of similar importance is intimated to him. It is also evident that the truths which lie beyond the range of human perception have always eluded and will continue to elude man. No words exist in the human vocabulary which either express or portray them. In speaking about such things, we necessarily resort to words and expressions generally employed in connection with tangible objects. In the Quran, too, this kind of language is employed in relation to supernatural matters. The verses which have been characterized as ambiguous refer to such matters. At best, such expressions may serve to either bring man close to or enable him to formulate some view of reality, even if it is a faint one. The more one tries to determine the precise meaning of such verses, the more their ambiguities proliferate, and more one is confronted with choosing between several plausible interpretations. All this is likely to alienate one progressively further away from the truth instead of bringing one closer to it. Those who seek the truth and do not hanker after the satisfaction of their egocentric quest for exotic superfluities, will be satisfied with a dim vision of reality derived from these verses. They will concentrate their attention instead on the clear and lucid core verses of the Quran. It will be left to those who are either out to make mischief and mislead people, or have an abnormal passion for superfluities, to devote their attention to hair-splitting discussions about the contents of the ambiguous verses. We believe in it. It is all from our Lord alone.
This might give rise to an unnecessary problem. How can people believe in ambiguous verses when the contents of these cannot be grasped? The fact is that a reasonable person will believe that the Quran is the book of God through his reading of its clear and lucid verses rather than by learning fanciful interpretations of the ambiguous verses. Once so convinced, he is not likely to be worried by doubts and anxieties caused by the ambiguities of the verses concerned. One who seeks the truth is satisfied with the obvious meaning of these verses, and wherever he encounters complications and ambiguities, he abstains from pursuing their solution too far. Instead of wasting his time splitting hairs, he is content to believe in the things laid down in the Book of God, without seeking to know them precisely and in detail. He turns his attention in the main to questions of a practical nature.
رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ
They pray to Allah, Our Lord, do not let our hearts swerve towards crookedness after you have guided us to the right way and bestow upon us your mercy. Surely you, only you, are the munificent giver.
رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ جَامِعُ النَّاسِ لِيَوْمٍ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ
Our Lord, you surely will gather mankind together one day, a day about the coming of which there is no doubt. Surely, Allah never goes against His promise.